So anyway, this Catholic guy, nice fellow, but not to the caliber of this Greek priest. So anyway, he's standing there, and his cardiac nurse is here, and the technician is here, and they put the IV in. And I said, how long until I'm out? And she said, 90 seconds. So I said, okay, I want you to know that I forgive you who are about to kill me. And then I said, and this is the way to make the proper sign of the cross. As a cardiologist, you will notice that we Orthodox hand over the heart. And then I'm out. And I woke up, and the room was dark, and the procedure had taken place. It didn't work. Oh. 10 later, it worked.
Oh.
And but I did that with every single time I had a cardioversion. I want you to know that I forgive you who are about to kill me. And when I went in for one of my cardioversions, and I walked into the waiting room of the cardiac unit, and there's all of these old people sitting there kind of like... And I walk in, and this woman rushes up to me. Oh, Father, would you please pray for me? I have a heart condition. And I said, so do I. We're in solidarity. Let's pray for each other. And then I looked at all these people sitting there that are gone.
Oh.
And I said, isn't it wonderful to be upright? And everybody thought about it for a second, and everybody laughed. You know, it's like, that's what it means to be a Christian when you face death. You know, I told the Lord, you know, if you want to take me, fine. I think I still have work to do. And I'm your servant. So if you want to take me now, fine. Have mercy on me if you do take me. But if now's not the time, please give me the energy and the help to be able to continue my ministry. And I also have an agreement with Ancient Faith Publications that they will keep cranking out my book. Who has my book? You can hold it up. Do you have it here? Who did I sign? Yeah, see, that's my book over there. Okay. So, they're going to keep cranking that out, but they're also going to continue in perpetuity my podcasts and my blogs after I'm dead. The recent period of 24 days when I wasn't on there, that was at my request because I was forbidden to be on there by my bishop, which is a whole other story. So, but I want to be available, and I want my brother, who is a Protestant, my brother said, wow, he said, it's going to be kind of spooky hearing your name, your voice over the radio after you're dead. And but, you know, that's what they're doing with Father Tom Hopko and a whole bunch of others that are no longer doing anything, but they're still up. So it's still that kind of ministry. But every single one of us here has to look closely at who we are and know that not everyone is going to like us. Not everyone is going to approve of our style or our choice of life partner or our choice of work or all kinds of things that we all have differences of opinion about. But remember to just, with God's help, be yourself. I saw a woman in Berkeley a couple days ago. Very strange looking woman. She was kind of a thin little thing, and she had brown hair, and she had a ponytail that came out on this side. And the rest of her hair was a little bit messy, but this was what really made you notice her, this ponytail on this side. And then her dress, the way she was dressed, was bizarre. It was just odd, bizarre. But I thought, I bet she would make an interesting neighbor. And I came out of Pete's Coffee in North Berkeley. the original Pete's, and there were two, or I was going in, and there were two guys there, one in a wheelchair, his name was Bishop, and the other guy's name was Dwayne, homeless people. And as I'm going in, Dwayne said something to me, he kind of looked at me and kind of nodded with a little bit of a smile, and I said, how are you gentlemen today? And Dwayne said, wow, thank you for recognizing our humanity. And I thought, how many people divert their eyes when they see a homeless person? Because they're afraid that they're going to be spare changed. And I had an early life experience of back when, 34, 35 years ago, when I was a monk, and I'm walking in San Francisco with the late Bishop Mark of the Patriarchal Church of Moscow. Remember him?
I know about him.
And we're walking together, and coming up ahead of towards us, about a block away, was the filthiest homeless person I had ever seen. And the guy's walking very slowly, and he's walking kind of like this, and he's looking down. And I looked at him, and his hair was out in all directions. His beard was matted in all directions. His face was covered with years of dirt and no bathing. His hands were filthy. He had holes in his clothes. He was wearing shoes, but you could see that he had no soles and no socks. So with every step, you could see that his blackened feet were barefoot. And I thought, oh my gosh. So I immediately took the elbow of the bishop, and I said, Ladika, let's cross here. And he said, why? And I said, look, it's coming. And Bishop Mark said, no, we're going to continue the course. And just as we are, the man's all of a sudden right there, and mind you, he's not looked up once, and he's right here, and I'm kind of going this way with the bishop. And he stopped, and he did an end run around me, and he went up to the man, take your hand, he took a $20 bill, now this is like 35 years ago, that's a lot of money, put that there, took the man's other hand, went like this, and he looked right at him, and he said, I want you to get something good to eat. And the first time that man looked up at us, and as we continued walking, I said, Vladika, did you see that man's eyes? Those were not the eyes of a derelict homeless man. Those were the eyes, I said, those were eyes filled with love and wisdom and mercy. The whites were the whitest whites I had ever seen. And the blue was the bluest blues I had ever seen. And he said, that's because that was an angel unaware. We were being tested. I have never forgotten that. And I expect that now. That homeless person or the spare changer could be an angel unaware, and I'm being tested. So for the last couple of years, I have a new thing that I do. I get $420 a month Social Security. Whoopee. If I was out of the church, I would be with them. I mean, I could barely live on the street with $420.
For about a week.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah. And so what I do is, with that money that's my money, I take a $20 bill, a 10, a 5, and a 1. And I mix them up so I don't know which is which. And I put them in my pocket. So if a person, if I see somebody at a stop, as I'm driving with a sign that says, I'm hungry, which I saw lots on this trip, I will reach into my pocket and I will get out what God wants them to have. And so if it's a 20, they get a 20. If it's a 1, they get a 1. And then later, I replace it so that I've always got that combination in there. And one of the most tender moments of that experience for me was a couple of years ago. I was one of the speakers for the Holocaust Memorial for the Armenians in downtown Seattle, and it was at the big public square there, the Pacific Center. And I parked my car about a block and a half away, and then after I spoke, and as I'm walking back, I've got my cane, and a bunch of probably about seven young Armenians decided that they needed to escort me back to my car. And so one of them had a big Armenian flag, and people probably thought, what kind of a potentate is that? But anyway, as I'm walking back, when I get to my van, I took my Rasa and my clo book, and I put it in the back of the van, and these young Armenians are reaching out to take a blessing. And so with these extended hands, there was a homeless guy leaning against the building, and he thought, oh, he's giving out money. So this old white bearded man comes kind of meandering through, and he reaches out and he said, "Do you got any spare change for me?" Aww. So I reached into my pocket and out came the 20, and I handed it to him. And then what he did astounded me and touched me deeply. He took the 20 and he extended it back to me. And he said, "Are you sure? Aww. Are you sure?" And I said, "Well, of course I'm sure. I want you to get something good to eat." "Now I can." And he walked off. And all these young people witnessed that. It was like this beautiful moment. And there's another time I was up with Father Basil Rhodes in Victoria, which is where I like to go when I need a break. Yeah. So about every 2 years, I take the Victoria Clipper from downtown Seattle to Victoria, and I stay at a nearby hotel, and I spend 3 days. I have a spiritual son and his wife that live in Victoria, so I go to see them. But I stay in this hotel, and I go to the Empress Hotel, to the Q, which is their glorious world-class cocktail lounge, and I have a cocktail, and I usually get together with a few priest friends from Victoria, and we all meet there for a cocktail and catch up. And then I go to Murchie's every morning, which is this, you know, Murchie's? Murchie's tea. And I have a cup of tea, and I'm sitting outside. Well, this particular time, Father Basil and I were sitting outside in front of Murchie's at a table, and we'd come out there with a... They also have coffee there, and we came out with a cappuccino and a lemon scone, hot out of the oven. So we're sitting there, and we just sat down. When he's here and I'm here, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see someone stop, and I just knew it was a homeless person about to spare change. And before I even got a chance to look up, Father Basil asked the man, "Are you hungry?" And the man said, "Yes." And Father Basil said, "What would you like to eat?" And he said, "Sausages and eggs." And Father Basil said, "Well, Murchie's doesn't serve that, but let me give you some money and you can go find it." So he pulls out a Canadian $5 bill and he hands it to me to give to him. And the moment that I received that, that I gave him the $5 bill, a young man of about 28 steps up, and he waves his finger in my face and he says, "What's wrong with you? Don't you know that why would you give money what was the other word for drug addict?
Alcoholic.
Junkie.
Why would you give money to a junkie? He's just going to spend it on drugs." And I said, "It's not my place to judge." And he said, "Well, don't you two have any... you're men of God, don't you have any intuitive abilities whatsoever?" And Father Basil said, "Well, you know, the man said he's hungry. That was enough for us." Yeah. And so the man just goes like this and walks off. And a moment later, a woman sitting at a table right over here, about where you are, a young woman calls out and she said, "Thank you. Well said. I needed this. I'm a social worker and I have been having a struggle and I've been waiting. I've been on the verge of quitting my job." And then I said, "Well, let me tell you a true story."